You'll find the text this morning in the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Genesis chapter number 24. Genesis chapter number 24, our text, beautiful, beautiful picture of salvation, of a wedding, of a lost sinner meeting a Savior. Verse number 2, Genesis chapter 24. And Abraham sent his eldest servant of the house that ruled all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Verse number 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well at the time of the evening, evening the time that the women go to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Shew kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for my servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. Let's skip over to verse number 54. And they did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And he rose up in the morning and said, send me away into my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel bide with us a few days, at the least 10, after she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said to her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant of his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came out from the way of the well, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. And she said to the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant has said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he'd done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. And she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Father, this morning, I pray that you'd bless the reading of your word. Lord, I pray this morning that your word would go forth. It would stir the hearts of your believers, that it would save the lost. I pray this morning that you would bind any spirit of hell. God, that you would help us preach the Word of God. I pray, Father, you'd forgive me for any attitude or action, any lust, any unclean thing in my life, Father, that may hinder the going forth of the Word of God. Lord, I'm thankful we can feel your presence among us this morning. God, I pray, Father, you'd see fit to help us, to stir us, to encourage us. Father, I pray that you'd be exalted and lifted high and magnified and glorified in everything that's said and everything that's done here in the house of God. We love you and thank you for all you've done. We praise your holy name. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Genesis chapter number 24. A wonderful chapter, a picture of salvation. How there was a father that sent a son to go get a bride for his son Isaac. We find Genesis, it's a book of beginnings. It's a birth, it's a book of beginnings. We find in Genesis the beginning of creation, beginning of man, the beginning of family, the beginning of marriage, the beginning of sacrifice, the beginning of languages, of races, the beginning of civilization. It was the beginning of sin, but thank God in the book of Genesis you'll find it's the beginning of redemption. It's a book of the beginnings. In the chapter 24, we find this father, Abraham. We find a son, Isaac. And we find a servant that's not mentioned. I see number one in our text, the will of the Father. Verse number 1 of chapter 24, the Bible says, and Abraham was old and was well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his elder servant of the house that ruled over all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country. Abraham, we find in our text, is old. He's well stricken in age. And we find that Abraham, Abraham's wife, had just died. She was buried. And God had made a covenant with Abraham. You know the story, the Abrahamic covenant, how God told Abraham he would be a father of many nations, how he would rule and possess over a land, over all the land of Canaan, and Sarah would be the mother of many nations. Sarah had just died. Abraham buries her in a cave here in Hebron. And now we see the will of this father. It was Abraham's desire. It was Abraham's will. It was Abraham's plan. It was Abraham's purpose to go and present a bride to his son Isaac. It's God's will. And it's God's purpose this morning to find one day a son that will present to him, his son, a glorious people, a glorious church, and a glorious bride. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 27, the Bible says that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but the bride should be holy and without blemish. Just as a bride dresses herself, adorns herself on the wedding day, all dressed up, beautified, and clean. We too, the church, the bride, one day will stand before this holy bridegroom. We'll stand in his presence without fault. We'll stand in his presence without spot. We'll stand in his presence without blemish. We'll stand in his presence holy, may I add, to presented to this son. Let me say the will of the Father will come to pass. In chapter 23, verse number 2, Sarah dies. She's buried. She's buried and she's gone off the scene. But thank God, just 3 verses later, there was a birth. There was a birth of a young girl named Rebecca. We must see that one wife dies and a child is born. We must realize this morning that Sarah represents the nation of Israel. She represents God's chosen people. And Rebecca, she represents the bride, the redeemed, the church of the living God. Israel, we know, was the apple of God's eye. To them, it was him that he came. To them, he came to seek and to save. He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yet it was them he owned. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of bondage. He protected and provided them in the wilderness. He gave them the law, the oracles of God. His people, the one he owned, the ones he possessed, knew when he was to come, knew where when to expect him, knew what family, knew what tribe he'd be coming from. Yet in John chapter 1, verse number 11, the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's Sarah, that's Israel, that's the wife. But thank God, Rebecca, the church, the redeemed, you and I, this young girl is born. It goes on to say, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's Rebecca. That's you and I. That's the bride. That's the church. It's the will of the Father for his son to have a bride, a spotless bride, a clean bride without spot or without wrinkle. Let me say this morning, the purpose, the plan, this will of the Father will come to pass. Soon, I believe, soon and very soon, you and I will hear those wedding bells ringing. We'll see this son face to face. And just like the father Abraham in our text, God's will be accomplished. Let me say this morning, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Here it is. But all should come to repentance. It's God's will, the will of the Father, to seek a bride for his son. He will stand before him one day. We'll stand, every one of us will stand before this holy bridegroom. We'll either stand before him as our Savior, or we'll stand before him and him being our judge. He'll stand before us either being our bridegroom, or he'll stand before us being our judge. We'll be presented without spot, without wrinkle. The will of the Father. Abraham, he's sending a servant. He's sending his best servant. He's sending his highest ranking servant to seek a bride for his son. The will of the Father. But I see number two, the working of this sent one. In verse number three, we find he tells this servant to go to find a bride for Isaac. But don't do it in the land of the Canaanites. Go to my country, a far off country, and to find this bride. Verse number 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city, by the well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. For behold, I stand here by the well of water. The daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. It's the workings of this one that is sent. The Father sends his eldest servant, the one that he had confidence in. This servant, the one that could get the job done. It was a servant of the highest rank in his household. It was one that was like no other. Our text does not mention his name. In all 67 verses of chapter 24, his name is not mentioned. It's almost as this servant is overlooked. It's almost as he's not even recognized. The focus is not on this servant. The focus is not on the one seeking the bride, but rather the focus was on the Father and it was on the Son. I don't know his name in the text, but in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 2, we find the steward of the house. We find the eldest servant, the highest ranking servant, the one with the highest authority of the house of Abraham. His name is Eleazar. We know Eleazar. That's his name. And what a fitting name that is. For his name means God is my help. What a fitting name. Because the will of the Father to send one, God is our help. Let me say this morning, without Eleazar, the son Isaac, would never have a bride. Let me say this morning, without God the Holy Ghost, the sent one, God the Son would never have a bride. The Holy Ghost this morning, let me say, He's not junior to these two that are mentioned in the text. He's not below, nor is He inferior. And this morning when we're talking about God, we're talking about God the Father. This morning when we're talking about God and singing about God, we're talking about God the Son. And this morning when we speak of God, we're talking about God the Holy Ghost. The three in one, and the one is three. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. But all I know, the one in the middle, that's the one that died for me. We read last Sunday night about Isaac. How Isaac, there in the temple, saw the Lord high and lifted up on the throne. Saw Him in His glory. Saw Him in His majesty. But Isaac heard some things. He heard them seraphims around the throne of God crying, "Holy, holy, holy." I believe, and I think I said it, I believe because there was three representing one. He was saying God the Father's holy, God the Son is holy, and God the Holy Ghost. He's a holy God. He's not inferior, although He's not mentioned, although He's not recognized, although it seems He overlooked. This servant, this sent one, was God the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful this morning. God sent God to be our help. Jesus was talking to His disciples. His time had come. He's going to the cross to die for their sins. He's going to be buried. He's going to be raised glorious in 3 days. His disciples were sorrowing. They were heartbroken, very tearful. They were hurting. And Jesus said, "It is expedient." He said, "It is helpful." He was saying, "It is profitable." He was saying, "It is to your advantage. It is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send the sent one. I will send Him unto you." We have an Eleazar this morning, and that's God the Holy Ghost is our Comforter. He's sent to help us, to guide us, and to comfort us. We sing the song, "The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost of heaven, the Father's promise given. Spread the tidings all around, wherever men may be found. The Comforter has come." But He also went just a little farther. In John chapter 14, verse number 6, He said, "I will pray the Father that He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." I'm glad this morning, in my darkest seasons, in my troubling days, in the most pressing hour, we have a Comforter. God is our help is His name. When I'm at my lowest estate, when I'm at my lowest, we have a God, a Comforter that abides forever. You may be a child of God this morning. Feel like you're a million miles. God's a million miles away. But we have the promise. How sweet is the promise? We have a Comforter that will abide with us forever. It's the Father's will. He sends one to seek a bride for His Son. Eleazar, this sent one, leaves Hebron. He's heading to Mesopotamia to find a bride. It's a long journey. It's told, I read, about 500 miles to seek a bride for Isaac. Verse number 10 and verse number 11, we find Eleazar, he knew where to go. Eleazar knew what time to get there. And Eleazar knew in what manner to arrive. Let me say this morning, God the Holy Ghost is the author of conviction. He knows how to convict. He knows how to draw. He knows how to get you to the place to call upon God the Son. We find Eleazar is by the well of water outside the city. All the young ladies that evening would come to draw water for the morning of the next day. What a good place to be. What a good place to find a bride, by the well of water. Let me say this morning, if you're saved, that's where God found you, and that's where God found me. Cleansed by the washing of the word of the water. Faith becomes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The Bible says, notice in our text in verse 10, for all the goods of his master were in his hands. He's going to seek a bride. And this sent one, Eleazar, has all the riches of his master. Rebekah, this young damsel, she goes out to the well of water, to draw water, and begins drawing water for the servant Eleazar, and begins to water his very camels. Eleazar begins giving her gifts, golden earrings we didn't read about. He gives her gifts of bracelets for her hands we didn't read about. But notice, he gives her these gifts long before she's ever married to the bridegroom. I said that to say that this morning. God, he is a God full of grace. For he maketh the sun to shine on the evil and the good. He sendeth rain to the just and to the unjust. You know, this morning for many and most, salvation by faith through grace is just a farce. Whether it be because of their pride, whether it be because of their self-sufficiency or downright denial, most will reject God. Most will say no to Jesus, and most will die in their sins and go to hell. But we find yet God is still a gracious God. God is still a God. It's a day, it's an hour of free grace. It's a time of mercy. The hour of judgment has not come. But when that great white throne judgment comes, no one will be able to stand before this bridegroom and say, Jesus, you were unfair. Jesus, you didn't give me opportunity. And Jesus, you didn't show me grace. Eleazar, well before Rebekah is married to the son, blesses her. Eleazar showers her, gives to her, provides for her, well before she's married to the son. Verse number 22. The Bible says it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel of weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels of weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? The servant, the sent one, Eleazar, type of the Holy Ghost, ask Rebekah, do you have room in your house? Can you lodge for me and my people? Can you accommodate all that I have? We find in verse 32 through verse 49 that Eleazar is in the home of Rebekah. They're sitting at supper. There present is Bethuel, Rebekah's father, Rebekah's mother, and Laban, Rebekah's brother. But before they ever ate a morsel of bread, before they ever stepped and tucked in for the night, the sent one, Eleazar, told Rebekah, told the family, the most amazing story. It was a story she had never heard before. It was a story unlike any other. It was a story about Abraham, how his master was great, how his master had owned flocks and herds, how his master was great in riches, how he had silver and gold, camels and asses. His wealth, his father's wealth, was well beyond measure. He must have told the story that night about the birth of a son. This son was a miraculous birth. It was in the most unusual way. He must have told her that when Abraham was 100 years old, when Sarah was 90 years old, all odds was against them. All odds was stacked against them. It looked impossible, but when it looked impossible, God made it possible. For is anything too hard for the Lord? Sarah gave birth. She conceived and called his name Isaac. He must have told the most amazing story. have the wealth of the riches of the Father. Have a miraculous birth of this son named Isaac. She must have told him about Mount Moriah. How Abraham took this son to the top of Mount Moriah to offer her his son a sacrifice, a burnt offering to God. Yet Isaac, although he had climbed Mount Moriah, he walked down off that mountain just as live and just as well as he ever been before. We find he must have told them about the son. How the son was a son of promise. How this son was a faithful son, a faithful witness. How Isaac was beautiful to behold. How Isaac was just altogether lovely. How Isaac desired, so desperately desired, a bride. No doubt, as Eleazar, this sent one, began to tell them the most amazing story they ever heard. I believe there was something burning on the inside of Rebekah. There was something that began to stir her. There was something that began to move her. There was something that began to draw her to this one named Isaac. Oh, to know Isaac, to meet him, to behold him, to be Isaac's bride. Let me say this morning, it's still the old story of unfeigned seen above, how Jesus and his glory and Jesus in his love. It's a story this morning, the gospel, like no other. A story I believe Rebekah had never heard. It was a story most unusual. A story unlike any other. A story of grace. A story of redemption. It was a story of love. You know, we're telling the same story this morning. Countless Sunday school teachers have told the old story in the classroom setting. Multitudes of preachers are proclaiming the story from the pulpit, but not until this sent one, God the Holy Ghost, tells you the story. It'll be a story like you never heard. Had you heard the story this morning about Jesus, the Son, who is God, how He came to this world, how He lived a sinless life, how He died on the cross to redeem us back to God. He died in your place and my place. He was buried, but thank God He rose again on the third day. He ascended to the Father. He's ever living to make intercession for us, but yet this morning, he's looking for a bride. Rebekah hears this story about the will of a father. She sees the workings of the one that sent. But I see thirdly, now the waiting son. Rebekah hears the story, burning in her heart, a stirring, a moving in her heart. How's she going to respond? How's she going to answer? How will you respond this morning? Verse 57. And they said, "We will call the damsel and require at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Rebekah, let me say, she believed a man she had never met. She's engaged to a man she's never seen. And she's going to a country she's never been. She got up and said, "I will go." I don't understand this morning. And I don't know all that transpires in salvation. The Bible says that salvation is of the Lord. What a beautiful picture of salvation in our text. But I don't know this morning when Rebekah received Christ. I don't know if it was when she said, "Yes, you can come to my house." I don't know if it was when she said, "Yes, I'll go." Or I don't know if it's when she meets Isaac face to face. I don't know all about salvation. It says that salvation is of the Lord. Pastor, I believe this morning, I really don't know the moment that transaction took place in my life. The old sanctuary, 2001, the man of God was preaching the Word of God. I heard this story. Something began to burn and turn in my heart. The altars were full of people. I was sitting over here to the left, second or third row. I couldn't get to the altar. Pastor, you know there's no space over there. But over here to the right, just at those steps as you walk up, there was a small opening. There was something burning. And I felt if I could get to that spot, that's where God would hear my prayer. I left that second or third pew. I walked down the back aisle. I walked across the church. I came up this aisle just to get to this spot. All I know this morning, that God saved me between there and here. Somewhere that great transaction transpired. We find this morning, she says, I will go. Verse number 61. And Rebekah rose, and her damsel, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah, and went his way. Rebekah, she said, I'll go. And let me say now, she's under the divine care of Eliezer. She's under the divine care on her journey to see the son Isaac. She's going to travel 500 miles. She's going to travel rough terrain. She's going to travel mountains and hills. She's going to travel in the hot desert sun. She's going to travel through those awful sandstorms, wild beasts, up and downs, troubles and trials, cold nights. Yet, we find in our text, Rebekah was already clothed in fine raiment. She was clothed with jewels of silver. She had jewels of gold, earrings in her ears, and bracelets on her hands. Verse 53 calls those some precious, precious things. If Abraham did that for Rebekah, if Eliezer did that for Rebekah, how much more this morning as God will take care of you and I on our journey. He graces us with precious things. Things on this journey. Grace for every trial. Grace for every mile. Sufficient grace is in His vast supply. I'm talking about going, traveling, the bride to the waiting son. Verse 63. And Isaac, this is the son, went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Camels of grace. Camels that'll transport a lost sinner to the Savior. A camel that'll take us safely from this world to that world. He lifted his eyes, and behold, the camels were coming. Camels. We find the camels of grace was ushering Rebekah to the presence of the Son. These camels of grace are bringing Rebekah safely, unharmed, from that land to Canaan land. The camel of grace bringing a lost sinner to the Savior. Let me say this morning, I'm thankful for the camels of grace. Verse 64. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto her servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. She sees the son. A man she had never met. A man she's engaged to but never saw. She sees the son for the very first time. Why? Because Eliezer, the sent one, God is my help, on this camel of grace, brought her safely. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and if doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I believe in our text, Rebekah saw the sun in all of his majesty, in all of his wealth, in all of his glory, in all of his holiness. Well, hey, Rebekah, are you glad you said, I will go? Hey, Rebekah, it was the trip worth the journey. I believe she'd tell us and testify to the church this morning. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. It was worth it all. Verse number 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I forgot to mention, we know the story of Abraham taking Isaac on Mount Moriah. Picture of Calvary. Picture of where God the Father pleased to bruise his son. But Isaac, after Mount Moriah, he's never mentioned until this text. He's never mentioned until the bride is coming to the Son. Makes me think about Jesus. Some 2,000 years ago, walking up Golgotha, Mount Calvary, dying in my place, shed his blood for the ransom of many, yet he's ascended to heaven. He's not with us, but thank God we have God, this Eleazar. God is our help. That's drawing us to Him. That's bringing us to Him. That's carrying us to Him. And the next time we see Him, just like our text, is when we hear those wedding bells ringing. I can hear the wedding bells. They sound so close. It's coming. It's coming. It'll be soon and very soon. You and I, the church, the redeemed, the church of God, those that are saved, quickened, made alive, born again, regenerated, those will stand and see our bridegroom face to face in all of His glory. Are you on one of those camels this morning? Let's all stand. Misty, if you'll come and play something on the piano. It's a camel called grace, bringing sinners to Christ. Maybe this morning, this Eleazar, this sent one, the Holy Ghost, has told you this story like you've never heard before. That there's a bridegroom waiting. This bridegroom, he's long-suffering. He's patient to you and I, not willing any should perish. But let me add, His Spirit will not always strive with men. Today is the day of salvation. It's a camel called grace that's riding by this church. Will you say, I will go? Will you say, I'm a candidate? Will you say this morning, I want to see this one named Jesus? Maybe you're here this morning. You've been saved. You've been redeemed. You've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. You want to come to this altar and thankful and praise and honor and say, God, I thank you for that camel that came by my way. I thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost that's keeping me safe, secure, is my comfort and my guide. For one day we'll see this one, this son named Jesus for who he is, our bridegroom. Whatever your need is this morning,